Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Yeah, looks like it's time to concentrate on the league. Hello, good evening to you. Welcome to Charlton Live on your Sunday evening. My name is Louis Mendes, and joining me in the studio as we get ready to look back at yesterday's 2-0 home FA Cup defeat. Just one change in the studio this week from last week's show. Joining us, Tom Wallin. How you doing, Tom?
Yeah, good.
Yeah,
good.
You didn't go yesterday, actually, so you didn't miss out. You were rotated.
I was rotated out.
Stands,
yeah. He's definitely second string.
I was gutted, but I'll be back for Saturday.
Yeah. Excellent. And joining myself and Tom here in the studio at the Valley is the grand old man of Charlton Live, who will never get rotated out of anything.
More expendable, that's why. they don't need to keep me safe for anything.
Yeah. Are you well, Terry?
Yes, not too bad.
Good day. Yeah.
Well, I've had better.
You've had better days.
Better, yes, indeed. Do I like losing? No.
No.
I'm starting to sound like Lee Bay. I'll start asking me a question.
I did that on Thursday as well.
Yeah, we're all starting to sound like Lebo. Yes, catching. We are. Yeah. Right, on tonight's show, then, we will look back at yesterday's 2-0 FA Cup defeat, and I imagine we'll be reading out a fair few tweets either for or against the decision to make 9 changes for the FA Cup tie. There's certainly a split out there, and I feel like we're going to hear both sides of it this evening. So we're going to talk about that. We're going to hear the highlights. We're going to hear exclusively from Lee Bowyer after the game, as well as he explains his decision to make the 9 changes, concentrate on the league, as I said at the top of the show there. Now, and in the second half of the show, we have got a real treat for you. On the phone this afternoon, I spoke to an absolute Charlton hero of mine, John Robinson, an absolute Charlton legend. He played in the Back to the Valley game. He also, of course, played in the 1998 playoff final. I had the privilege to speak to him on the phone for nearly 25 minutes earlier, so we've got an extended interview with Robbo.
It's Robbo couldn't get away, could he?
Honestly, if it was up to me, the entire hour and a half would just be me chatting to Robbo. He was absolutely brilliant. So we're going to hear from John Robinson later on in the show. We're also going to pay tribute to Darren Pitcher as well. Robbo does, and Terry is going to have more memories of him than me and Tom do, unfortunately. So we'll speak about him later on in the show. If you want to share your memories of Darren Pitcher as well, you can do so. And then right at the end of the show tonight, I mean, it's not too often I get to say this on the show, but there isn't enough space to fit in all the legends we had. Normally we can get us three in quite comfortably, but there's another legend that's going to be on Thursday's show, but I'm going to play you a little teaser later on in the show. You can guess who that's going to be as well. So just before we hear the highlights, don't forget you can have your say. You can email us, studio@charltonlive.co.uk. You can tweet us at Charlton Live, or you can head over to the Charlton Live Forum to have your say about yesterday's game, about Darren Pitcher, about John Robinson if you want to as well. I feel the major talking point this evening is going to be the choice to make 9 changes. That was the major talking point on Twitter and all that yesterday. I asked Lee Bowyer about it. Terry, you asked Lee Bowyer about it as well. And he was pretty staunch in his defence of, you know, the league is the most important thing, and we're a club with a tiny squad, if we're being honest, who are hopefully going to try and push for promotion. We've had horrendous luck with injuries, that's what Lee Bowyer's saying, but then there's probably 3,000 Charlton fans who turned up yesterday and had to pay £15, which is actually quite a lot for a cup tie, who are probably thinking maybe we should have had a more first team side out.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I get not being happy because we lost, and there are a number of us who still value the FA Cup. So I get that. I do understand why people are miffed. What I get less, I think, is that Lee Bowyer is not exactly... I mean, unless you've been living in a cave, Lee Bowyer, for the last month plus, before Mansfield, has been saying he doesn't care about the FA. The FA Cup is of no concern to him whatsoever. The league's his priority. That's what he's going to do. He's going to put, not a reserve side, but he's going to put an understrength side in the FA Cup, returning players, kids. He's going to do it. That's what. And he said he made no apology for doing it, but he said he was going to do it. So everybody who came yesterday should have known that.
It's funny, if you look at the squad we put out in the League Cup away at Milton Keynes, was literally like the under-23s and the under-18s, yeah. And there wasn't this level of... tweets and message board comments going around. So the difference is obviously between the FA Cup and the League Cup. No one cares about the Checker trade, for example. Tom, I mean, you know, I'll put you on the spot. You didn't come yesterday, so I don't think you could possibly say, well, you know, the FA Cup's as important as the league or anything like that.
I didn't come because I had something else. If I'd have had no plans, I would have come down. I would have paid my money, probably. But I also would have come down knowing we were going to play a weaker side. I think, having said that, I don't think it was as weak as some people are making out. There's a lot of players there who would have been wanting to try and play their way into the first team. But yeah, like you guys, I completely get where Lee Bowyer's coming from. I mean, that day over at Fulham a few years ago when we were romping League One was absolutely brilliant. One of the best away days I've had in a long, long time. And of course, it would have been great if something like that could have happened again. But, you know, it's not the same squad. It's not the same position. We're flirting with the playoff places at the moment. And Lee Bowyer's right. The league is the priority at the moment, and that's what we need to concentrate on. So whilst it would have been lovely to get Man City away or something like that, we could easily have got Gillingham at home as well. So I think he's done the sensible thing. I think he's been pragmatic. It's not going to please everyone, and I understand the other point of view, but the proof will be in the pudding on Saturday, I think.
Yeah, I think, and that's fair, you're hearing the interview I alluded to a little bit, that, you know, the pressure is on a little, I think, a little bit, because he's made that decision, and I don't have a problem with it personally, and I get why other people might, but no, I understand that other people have. But he's now got to, or the players have got to perform in the next, certainly in the next one, the Blackpool one, and probably the next two. Portsmouth less so, maybe, but certainly the Blackpool game now becomes... if you don't win, you're going to cop some type of game, isn't it? I mean, and he's put that, you know, that the club has put that in amongst its, you know, to itself, if you like, because by doing what we did yesterday, it's made that game, put the microscope on him a little bit, I think.
Right, let's have a quick listen to the highlights. It wasn't all one-way traffic by any stretch of the imagination yesterday against the Doncaster team that was effectively their full-strength side, apart from perhaps the goalkeeper. But yeah. I looked up, I think he has actually played a few games recently, so I think he's had to wait his turn. But it was, you know, a full-strength for Doncaster side. Charlton made a lot of changes, 9 changes, but they had their chances. This is the highlights, how it went down in Valley Pass with Terry over there and with Greg yesterday afternoon.
Marshall, right down edge of the penalty area. Ball, little touch into Lapsley, into the box. Lapsley crossing it over. Oh, it's a back, almost like a little flick from Akin Fairchild, but just blocked away and cleared. On the overlap, Marshall, halfway inside the Doncaster half, looking to take his man on. Steps, goes back to Lapsley. Now he might swing it in. He does. This could be a deep one towards a Jose. A Jose, little touch to Clark. Oh, and it's blocked away by the man to the left of the keeper. I think that was Butler, and Doncaster survive another goal.
Lovely pick out on the right-hand side to find Marquise. Marquise closed down by Stevenson. He has Mason in the overlap and uses him. Mason, ball into the box, is a lovely ball in, and no one attacked it. Right across the face of goal.
I actually disagree with that. I don't think that was a good ball in at all. I think he fizzed it across, and it looked spectacular because he went straight across the six-yard box. But he didn't pick out a Doncaster shirt. And when you've got that much space and time, I think that's the least you've got to do.
Trying to drive the ball forward. He's touched it down the line and got past Andrew. Marshall crossing the opportunity.
Lovely ball.
Looks at the far post and Clark. Clark controls onto his left foot. Clark goes for the shot. It's deflected off Mason. But a lovely bit of play from Mark Marshall on the right side.
Superb from Mark Marshall. He had nowhere to go.
Reeves in the middle. He's got acres of space. Reeves controls. Thinks about a shot. Reeves will go for it. Deflection off of Rowe. And it's out for the corner. The goalkeeper comes screaming out of his defence.
Tell you what, that would have been interesting if that had avoided that deflection. Just how close that might have been to the right-hand corner.
Held up by Reeves. That's a good block from Reeves to prevent the ball into the box. As Mason has it again. Little chip ball forward to Rowe. That's a lovely layoff. And on the strike, it's a good effort from Kane. But it fell nicely to Phillips, who just touched it down and then collected the loose ball. And it's a long kick forward. Clears likewise for Charlton. And there is the half-time whistle. I was right, there's no added time, which probably sums up the first 45 minutes. Forced away by Lapsley. The ball finds Whiteman. It's a decent one. Whiteman controls, shapes the shoot, goes onto his left foot. Reverse ball into the penalty area, finds May. May ball across goal. It's great handling from Dylan Phillips.
Good goal
to deny the ball coming into the box. Straight away to Lapsley. Lapsley down the line to Marshall, and those two are combined well for Charlton. Marshall just about keeping the ball alive for Charlton, driving forward. It's on a good run here, Marshall. Marshall to left-hand side, finds Reeves. Reeves with Stevenson on the overlap. Reeves using decoy, and goal-bound shot headed away by Anderson and out for the Charlton corner. It's a lovely counter-attack from the Addicts. It's going to be Ben Reeves or Billy Clark. It's going to be the captain for today, Clark, I think. Clark steps over the ball, gets over the wall. Off the bar!
Corner, isn't it?
It is off the bar, inches away from scoring a goal. Billy Clark.
Corners
going to be taken by Andrew. Chips it into the penalty area. There's a header from Butler. It's come off of Marshall and it's gone in. And Charlton have conceded a rather soft goal. So corner came in. Butler with the header down. Marshall standing right in front of Phillips. It just comes off his chest and into the back of the net. And Doncaster have the lead.
It must go down as an own goal. That just rolled off Marshall's chest. It was going comfortably to Dylan Phillips otherwise. And somehow it's just rolled off, which is really tough on Mark Marshall, because he's probably been one of Charlton's better players this afternoon. For Mark at the far side, he gets his head down. It's flicked away by Saar. It's bouncing in the area. Wilkes with a shot, cleared away again, and this time Albie Morgan can touch it away to Marshall. He's on his toes, Marshall. Crawford's pursuing him, but Marshall shows him a clean pair of heels. Further down the right, he's gone. Marshall still on it, going into the far side. It's a lovely cross in, just under Jose. It'll drop to Akin Fairchild, who can't get it out from under his feet. And Doncaster clear it
comes
away.
In. Naby Siles there. It's gone beyond Naby Siles. Banded back across, and it's a soft one. And it's Butler again,
who's put the header back across and into the net. And Doncaster are 2-0 up.
Yeah, I think Marquise just touched it on the line as well.
But
I don't know.
He was offside if he touched it.
I don't know who got the final contact, but it's a terrible goal again for Charlton to concede. And it's just a ball to the back post, and I think it might have been Saar. He didn't quite read it. And it's managed his way to work to Butler, heads it back across, and it is Marquise who's been credited with the goal. I think he was actually, he made his run deep and touched it on the line.
Yeah, six. Ball. It's a header in by Marsh. Oh. What a save from the keeper that was. Lapsley trying to make it back. Ball Taylor to Wilkes. Wilkes back to Taylor, edge of the penalty area, trying to go back to Wilkes. It's almost found him as well. It has, and that's a great save from Dylan Phillips. And it needs Dylan Phillips to scamper back to get the second
possibility for a shot. No, he swings it across to the right hand side, and Marshall. Can he take his mate? Sarpong Radio on the overlap. Sarpong Radio, chip ball back across. Headed in! Stevenson over the bar.
Oh, he should score.
It's a lovely move by Charlton to create the opportunity. Ball back into the box from Sarpong Radio. You'd put your house on Stevenson burying that with his head. And he just looped it over the bar.
And that is the final whistle, I'm afraid, here at the Valley. As Charlton go out of the FA Cup at the second round. Two Doncaster Rovers.
So there we go, the highlights of yesterday's 2-0 FA Cup defeat against Doncaster Rovers. We're still trying to work out how Toby the Hattrick Stevenson didn't continue his remarkable goal record, but, you know, there was chances. It could have gone another way. I mean, I was frustrated at the end of it when we went out, you know, because I wanted to go through to the third round, but even with the changes that were made, we did have some chances.
And I think when you consider that that was Doncaster's strongest team, barring perhaps the goalkeeper, as you said, the fact that our second 11, if you like, well, certainly eight of them were, then we gave them a real run. And had Clark's free kick gone under the bar and still over it, if the chances we created could have grabbed one of them before then, could have been completely different. Mm. So I think, you know, as much as I was disappointed going out and losing generally, you know, I think the players that were out there put in a good shift and didn't do themselves. I mean, I really felt sorry for Mark Marshall. I mean, he probably one of his best games. And that own goal that rolled up his chest and avoided Dylan Phillips. It was really tough luck.
Yeah, I mean, we'll talk about the quality of the goals that we conceded. It was disappointing, both from set pieces, which isn't something that we've struggled with too often this season. I mean, the first one, it was a really soft header towards the goal from Butler. And does it go down as an own goal or not? We were discussing this
after. Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, because it was on target, but you feel like Phillips would have saved it otherwise.
It's going straight down his throat. There's no way he wouldn't have saved it otherwise. Mm.
So, I mean, you know, for all the good stuff, and then we will talk about the goals. It was disappointing to concede twice from set pieces.
It was, but I still maintain, and people, Boger especially, didn't really seem that bothered about it. But I was chuntering after the game because Butler, about 15 minutes before that, he'd impeded Rico Hackett Fairchild just about halfway inside the Doncaster half, and Rico was clear behind him, and on goal. Now, of course, there's no guarantees he would have done anything with it, but he was in that position, pulled him back, and the referee didn't book him. Unbelievably, the referee didn't book him. About 5 or 10 minutes later, he did exactly the same thing, this time on the edge of the penalty area, and then the referee booked him. Now, if he'd have done it properly the first time, no, all right, you could argue that he wouldn't have done it the second time if he'd been on a booking, but then if he hadn't done it the second time, Hackett Fairchild would have been in again, in the penalty area, in on goal, we'd have scored long before they did, and arguably, Butler wouldn't have been on the pitch. And yet he pops up for both goals that subsequently won it.
I was worried we weren't going to find a way to blame the referee on this. But there we go. I mean, the second goal killed it off with perhaps a header across the goal. If we should have blocked the first one.
Yeah, agreed. Yep.
But that's it. I mean, the last 5-10 minutes was weirdly probably the most exciting part other than the two goals, because it became, I mean, Lawler made a superb save from Mark Marshall from that header. And then, I mean, like I say, Toby had his chance. Phillips had to make a couple of good saves late on. But overall, I mean, is it a fair result? I mean, I'd still argue that I prefer to lose than to have drawn.
Oh, yes.
And had to go up there for a replay. Portsmouth won their FA Cup game today, right at the last minute, so we will be going to Portsmouth a week on Tuesday, which I'm looking forward to. I asked Bowyer as well yesterday what his preference was in terms of the Portsmouth game. Would he rather it be called off and we had a rest, or would he rather the game would go ahead? And he said he'd rather it would go ahead while we're in this good form. So Bowyer will be happy with that. Like I say, Mark Marshall was the player that stood out, I think, for me yesterday. And we've talked about his season so far. Obviously, he started a couple of games. Well, he played a couple of games early on, but then he went a long time without us even seeing him. Wasn't even getting in the squad at times. But now he's been given a couple of chances in cup games and a couple of league games off the bench, and I think he's really impressed over the last few weeks. And so yesterday, his final ball into the area was looking good. So unlucky not to score a goal, so unlucky with the own goal. I mean, that really impressive from him, Tom. Don't you think? I mean, Marshall could really be a player, you know, just something a bit different to add in, an all-out-and-out winger that perhaps we haven't really got at the moment.
Yeah, and it's a player that we just haven't seen from him since he signed, really. We've had the odd game here and there, and you think, oh, that's the guy we were looking for. That's the guy we thought we were getting, and then he'll go on a couple of stinking games again. But I think the little cameos he's had over the last, what, 6 or 7 games where he has come in, I think he's performed really well. I think he came on as a sub against them in the league as well, possibly. And I thought played well then as well. I think he got 20 minutes there. As you say, he had something a bit different. And with some of the injuries we've got, you know, he's not going to come in and replace Cullen at the base of a diamond or anything like that. But when we've got injuries in midfield, he's someone else that you can bring on and do something different. And he's someone who, towards the end of last season, I thought Bowyer had perhaps given up on. similar to a Jose, really, and both of them have found their way back into the team, worked their way back into the team, and deserve credit for doing that. And I think both of them, arguably, now are people who perhaps we can't rely on week in, week out, but when they come off the bench, it's not like last season where we're, or earlier this season even, when, as Nafe said, he's looking around and thinking pants. I think he's looking around now and he's thinking, actually, if a Jose goes on or Marshall goes on, they can give me some sort of attacking threat. Marshall, obviously, with the defensive cover as well. So, yeah, I'm pleased to see him getting more game time. I don't think he's a starter yet, but it's nice to be able to rely on him a little bit more.
But you were saying yesterday, Tal, that one of the main thing was the fact that, you know, I asked him, was it an opportunity lost? Because Charlton fans will see it as an opportunity to get to the third round and to you know, get a big team or whatever. But he was more along the lines, as far as he was concerned, it was an opportunity to see the likes of Billy Clark, Ben Reeves get some minutes, Anthony Dick still at centre half. And, you know, I think, you know, judging by what he said with a lot of the things he saw, he was pleased. I mean, starting off with Anthony Dick still at centre half.
I don't think Anthony's actually had a bad game. He's looked a little bit shaky at times when he keeps swapping from one position to another early on, but he grows into the game, Anthony. And I don't think he's let us down in any time he's played. And I think he's a real player for us, and one for. You know, it almost slips under the radar a little bit because obviously the likes of, well, of course, Taylor, but in terms of kids, Aribo, to a lesser extent, I suppose, Hackett Fairchild, Toby Simpson, since he's come in. But I think Anthony just dips under the radar a bit, but he's so solid.
And it just gives us another option at the centre-half position, which is one where we've struggled with injury so far this season.
Well, he's actually, I think, a central defensive midfield player. That's, that's his natural position. So centre-half, a bit like Christian Billick, I suppose, it should be a relatively easy step up to a centre half position, but I just think he's been a rock for us at the back when he's had to play either at centre half or at right back.
Clarke got 90 minutes.
Good to see as well. And you just started to see glimpses of Billy Clarke, of how we saw him last season before he got the injury. And I think getting minutes under him is a positive, and it'd be great to see him back in the starting squad.
I mean, how far away do you think he is from getting involved with the league? Because he obviously missed out the last couple of league games, and Bowes says he wasn't quite ready. I mean, do you think you saw more from him yesterday?
Well, I mean, I think yes, I did. I think in every game he's looked better, and I think I wouldn't be at all surprised to see him in the squad next time around, because he'll have another week and a bit of training. So it wouldn't surprise me if he was in the squad.
And of course, Reevesy. Bo said it wasn't his best game yesterday, but he's still coming back from injury. It's taken him a little while longer than perhaps at first we thought we might have got him back for the last couple of games, but then he has come back still sooner than what was originally thought. So, you know, Reeves is a player that, whereas it might not have been his best yesterday, he got the minutes under his belt. And of course, he's a player who at times this season has shown perhaps a lot more than he did, especially in the early part of last season.
I think he's been brilliant in patches this season. Again, it's in patches, and obviously we want to see that more consistently. As you say, as a player who's coming back from injury, I just think game time yesterday is going to help him. But again, I go back to the Doncaster League game at the start of the month, and that pass he played for the second goal to get Lyle away. I mean, that's just one of many that he's done since he's come back in, and he's really grabbed that number 10 role, which we wanted him to do when Clark got injured last year, and I didn't really think he did it. And now he's kind of slightly more out wide with Clark, or they're kind of interchanging depending who's playing. And I think he's really embracing that, and he's playing with a lot more freedom. And it's funny, because when Robinson signed him, you would have thought he would have slotted nicely into that 4-2-3-1, because that's what he was used to playing at MK Dons. But it was almost like the formation didn't suit him anymore. And I don't know if that was just the other players around him. But in this formation that Bowyer plays, I think actually he seems to just get a lot more time on the ball, or certainly feel more comfortable on the ball. And he's got two strikers to aim for, which helps as well. So, yeah, he's another one who's just playing his way back into form, and obviously just trying to get back from that injury. But I think he's been a lot better this season.
Now, one player we haven't actually seen too much of at all this season, of course, is Rico Hackett-Fairchild, and he got a start yesterday. Involved quite a lot, actually. You saw him coming deep a fair bit to try and get the ball. I mean, what did you make of his performance? Do you think he's given Bose just something to think about?
I think he looked very lively for the first half an hour, Rico. Still a little bit lightweight for me for the position he's in. I think, I don't know how you change that instantly, maybe needs a Guinness or two.
I'm not sure that's sports science in this day and age, Guinness.
It worked for Brian Robson.
It worked for you as well.
And me, yeah. There's slightly
you,
different.
No one's accusing you of being slight.
Slightly different level, perhaps. But so, no, I just think you get, I mean, we, at times, we were knocking the ball up to him as that focal point, and he's just not quite strong enough against much more experienced, bigger centre-halves to do anything about that. When the ball's on the floor and he's moving, much better. And I think in the say the first half hour, he was coming short, he was coming deep, he was lively, he was turning, turning his centre half. So that was great. But it's gonna be a tough nut to crack for him to get into the starting 11 ahead of certainly Taylor and Grant, but probably even a Jose, I'd say. Mm. But he's still only young, so game time. I was really pleased to see Mikal Kennedy. I was about to mention
15 months out injured. Absolutely. He didn't get a chance to come on. I think Bose, again, if he'd had the chance, he would have. But it's just great to see him because it goes under the radar that he's had exactly the same injury that Clark and Forster Caskey has had with the ACL. You spend that amount of time out. I know he came back to playing in the 23s game against Palace.
About 10 minutes, I think, didn't he?
Yeah, earlier on in the week. But it's great for him to be involved again because, I mean, he showed a little bit of promise just for he hadn't been in the first team squad for 3 years. But
I like Mikal Kennedy. He's a bit of an old fashioned striker for me, a bit of a sniffer around the box, if you like. And he's got a hell of a shot on him. I don't know if you saw him in the warm ups. No. And he does seem to have actually bulked up a little bit compared to when I saw him before. And. I think we've mentioned it before about Albie Morgan's got a shot on him. Well, he was comfortably at least matching and sometimes bettering the Albie Morgan's strength.
I think people forget that Mikal Kennedy actually scored 3 minutes into his debut away at Peterborough in the League Cup a few years ago. Not quite Toby Stevenson level to get the hat-trick, but he did get one after just 3 minutes. I mean, we saw Brendan Sarpong Wiradu again came on yesterday. Been impressed with his cameo so far.
He's going to be a player, isn't he? I mean, again, we've got somebody coming through the ranks that you think you can hang your hat on that will be here for a while. And sadly, it's probably somebody that our owner's looking at thinking, oh, he's going to make me money. Because I do think he's going to be an accomplished player wherever he plays. Again, I'm not sure right back's his natural position. I think, again, is it right midfield? I don't know, to be honest. Something I'd have to check. But he just looks comfortable on the ball. He's great going forward. He spots times tackles, he spots opportunities. I just like him as a player. I think he's going to be a really good player for us.
Excellent stuff. So 2-0 defeat in the end in the FA Cup, a much changed side, which I'm certain is about to come up in all our tweets and emails, which we're going to talk about. I think we need to hear from Lee Bowyer as well, because like I say, his reasoning yesterday, I mean, it stands up to, we have a small squad and want to get in the league, but then other people are saying, well, other teams played their first team who are also pushing promotion. Do they have a smaller squad than us? Probably not. But also people say it's still the FA Cup. You still want to get into the third round. And that was, what was asked of Lee Bowyer yesterday after the game. And like I say, he stuck to his guns. He's not going to change for anyone. We certainly know he's not going to mince his words as well. But Bo's coming to speak to Terry after yesterday's game. This is our exclusive interview with him after the FA Cup defeat against Doncaster.
I think there was some positives from today. It was obviously going to be tough. That's their starting 11, and obviously we made 9 changes from our last league game, so it was always going to be tough. But learned some valuable things today, and so did some of the players. There's some pros and cons to like every game. Obviously we're disappointed to go out of the cup, but I think I have to be sensible, the way injuries and how unlucky we've been. I'd be stupid to put out, say, the side that we beat them 3-4 weeks ago, whatever it was. I'd be stupid to put out that side and then get through to the next round of the cup and then draw one of the big sides but lose 2 or 3 players who might have got injured. It's obviously a possibility. I'd be stupid to take that risk. The league for us, we're never going to win the FA Cup, so what's the point? Get Man City in the next round and lose 8-0, what's the point? Then your confidence is up there, and then you end up rock bottom because you just get the runaround from a Premiership side. I don't see the point in that. That's just being stupid. So I'd rather concentrate on the league and try and look after my players the best I can. That's the most important thing for me.
You said from very early on that you were always going to put the sort of side you put out in today's game, so it wouldn't have come as a surprise to too many people. But on the plus side, as you said, it was Doncaster's first 11 for a good amount of time the side put in a decent shift, and had the luck gone slightly the other way, might have been a different result.
Yeah, they've scored from two set plays. I think Billy Clark hit the bar from a free kick. Mark Marshall had an header, an unbelievable save. I think we had other chances, maybe another three, four other chances, especially second half. I think they was the better side first 15, 20 minutes of the first half. And then I think we started to control it a bit better once we started passing it. We was the better side end of the first half. And then second half, I'd say it was quite even. I think it was even. So, like, the lads, like, they've done all right, you know. They've done okay. Okay, we've lost. Obviously, we're all disappointed. But there's some positives out of that. Mark Marshall was very good. I know now I can play and start Marsh. I know his end product now is where it should be. He put some great balls in today. He's been working hard in training to get that right. And now, if I didn't, I would have played that same starting 11 that I did against Doncaster before, then I wouldn't have seen that today. So Marshall's very good. Very good.
I'm sorry for Mark, because obviously the first goal sort of cannoned off his chest and avoided Dylan after the shift that Mark had put in. It was hard to take that one.
Yeah, but that's football, isn't it? It's football. He wasn't supposed to be there anyway. But, yeah, okay, he's made a mistake, but I think there's a lot of positives Mark can take from today. So I think Dylan was very good. Anthony, I think they'd be done okay.
Got to ask a question on the goal scorer. Right, they're going to hopefully they might put it down to Mark Marshall's own goal, but I think it was Butler. Early on in the half, had already taken out Rico Hecker Fairchild and didn't get booked, and then did it again a little while later and then got booked. So arguably, as a player who's not popped up for both goals, shouldn't have been on the pitch.
Maybe, but picking at small details there, I don't know if he should have been sent off, but it's not that important. The most important thing is that they learn, you know. They learn from their mistakes and they've got good experience. Some of them got good experience. Taylor Maloney playing in the centre of the park against Doncaster starting 11, you know. League One side. It's good experience for him. George is still learning. George has just learned today that you can't take too many touches, because if you do, you get caught. And he got caught a few times today, so it's a learning thing, you know. We've got a lot of kids out there. Rico up top, got to fight and compete, and he does that. Can he hold the ball up a bit better at times? So it's the young Toby, bloody 18-year-old kid. Albie coming on, Brandon coming on. Anthony, centre-half, what's he, 21? Young side, you've got a couple of experienced ones in there. Billy Clark got 90 minutes under his belt, which is good. So there was a lot of positives out of today, for me anyway.
And Ben Reeves as well, of course, getting time after being out for a while.
Yeah, and he looked sluggish, Ben. But that would have done him the world of good, that. So obviously now we've got a full week before Blackpool, and that's a big game for us.
If anything, does that put a little bit more pressure on you? With the players rested, going to go to Blackpool, a little bit more rest, of course, but... does the pressure go on those players to perform, given that they've had a rest?
No, I know they're going to perform. I know that. I know they're going to be ready. They've had a full week's rest. They trained hard this morning. I had them in training this morning, so I know they'll be ready. They know what the situation is and what's on the line, so... we're in a good place at the moment. We've won four on a spin, so they know this is a tough month coming up, but if we can get it right, then it'll all be good.
Is another positive that, and I think I mentioned it earlier, that's, and you mentioned it as well, Doncaster's pretty much their strongest side. Maybe the goalkeeper's a slight difference. Other than that, that's their first 11. And they haven't really outplayed us. And so against I wouldn't say second string, that's probably not fair, but against not our first 11, does that give you positives that when we do put the full side out, they bearing in mind they're only one place behind us, I think, that bodes well?
Yeah, and listen, their manager apparently said to someone the other week after we'd played them that we was the best side they've played. And the lads that have just gone out there today, we've made 9 changes from what Tuesday's side. And the lads that have just gone out there have done well. Like, okay, we've lost the game. Of course we're disappointed. I don't want to lose any game. But sometimes you have to do the right thing. And my right thing for the club is to try and look after the players the best I can. And I'm learning, like, I've learnt some stuff, valuable stuff there today. Can I rely on this person? Can I rely on that person? Is that person ready to be called upon? I've learnt some valuable stuff there. They played against a good Doncaster side, like their first side, their first team, first starting 11. So, yeah, I've learned a lot. It's been okay, a disappointing day because of the result, but a good day because there's a lot of positives come from that.
How's it going, Ed?
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
He's got Grant inside of him. Use him as a decoy. Takes a shot. Oh, what a goal!
Come on! Oh, come on!
What a finish!
Come on!
Lyle Taylor used Grant as a decoy. A right foot shot from the right end. Well, the left hand edge of Charlton attack of the penalty area. Absolutely arrowed into the top corner. O'Donnell had no chance at all and Charlton are 2-0 up.
How's it going, Ed?
So welcome back. It's Charlton Live here on your Sunday evening. Just heard our exclusive interview there with Lee Bowyer after yesterday's FA Cup defeat against Doncaster. Don't forget, still coming up on tonight's show, we've got our exclusive extended interview with Addicts legend John Robinson coming up later on in the show. Don't forget, if you want to meet Robbo and the rest of the 90, well, many of the 98 squad, including the manager Alan Kirbishley, you can go to the Charlton Athletic Community Trust playoff final dinner next Sunday the 9th of December. A couple of us are going, so you can meet us as well if you're really desperate. But no, you can meet all those legends, and it'll be a great occasion. So if you head over to the Trust website, you can get your tickets for that. We tweeted out the details for tickets as well, so that's a chance to meet the likes of John Robinson. He was an absolute gentleman on the phone earlier, and I can't wait to play you the interview. But yeah, we heard from Bowes yesterday. We've got plenty of reaction to what he said. He calmed down slightly, I think, by the time he came in here. But when he was first asked about it, he came out and said he wasn't fussed at one point about the result, which, I mean, I think he changed his tune by the time he came in. I mean, he did.
I have that effect on people.
Yeah. you are disappointed to lose the game. You wanted to lose the game, but it's nowhere near as disappointed as he will be if we lose up at Blackpool next week. And I think that was quite obvious in what he had to say.
I think that's a gimme, yeah. And you know, I know he said it wouldn't put any pressure on, and they know what they've got to do. They're capable of when he knows what they're capable of, and in that part I agree with him. But you know, that doesn't always go according to plan, because I'm sure he had the same plan before Burton Albion, and they almost pummeled us for 90 minutes. We still come away. If the same thing happens, that we're on the back foot for the whole 90 minutes and we still win, I'm happy with that. That'll do me.
Yeah, exactly. Tom, I mean, your views then on the situation. We knew there was going to be changes. There was changes. I mean, Bowes did come out and say he wasn't fussed. He made the right decision. You know, if we go through, say we played Lyle Taylor yesterday, he scores the winner with 20 minutes to go. There were 10 minutes to go. He breaks his leg, and then we play Man City and lose 10-0. It would be seen as a bit of a wasted exercise, wouldn't he? But at the same time, you know, some Charlton fans would like the chance to go through, play Man City, go to the Etihad, and you know, maybe you get beat 4-5-0. Who knows? But you get the day out. So it's a tough one to balance, really. And Bowyer took the pragmatic approach, and you know, even then we still had our chances, so it could have gone either way, I guess. But the fans were disappointed that they had to pay £15 to see a team that wasn't Charlton's first team.
Yeah, I completely appreciate both points of view. I understand why people are a bit miffed about it. The way I see it, it is the same way that Boya does. The league takes precedent. I love the FA Cup. I'd love to see us get to the third round. And if we did get pumped by Man City 8-0, as he suggested, if I got on away day to the Etihad, I wouldn't complain, to be honest. But I don't think this year was the right year to go for it. And I think if it's all going to be ifs and buts, whatever way we look at it. But if we go up in May, then perhaps this is a small part that played a part in that happening. So, yeah, I'm as frustrated as anyone that we didn't go through. But I think it was the right decision. And as I said earlier in the show, when you look at that team, yes, there were a lot of changes, but there's a lot of experience there as well that played in that game. The likes of Marshall and a Jose, and I know Lapsley's not experienced in those terms, but he's played a fair amount of minutes this year as well. So it's not like the Carling Cup MK Dons team that played earlier in the season. It's a fairly strong side. No, it's not as strong as the side that played in the league against them a month ago, but you know, with a few injuries, that's the sort of side we'd be playing anyway. So from Boya's point of view, it's a chance for him to look at some of those players, because as he said himself, he might need to call upon some of them in over the next few weeks, particularly Christmas, where we've got so many games. So I think he made the right decision. I completely understand why people are annoyed. And I'm as disappointed as everyone that we're out of the cup, because you always want to be in the hat for the third round. But we move on, and as we've all said earlier, it goes down to Blackpool now, and win that and everything will be fine. So
yeah, everything will be forgotten quite quickly, I'd say, if we win in the next couple of games. Right, well, there's plenty of people have had their say on tonight's Charlton Live, and you're always welcome to. You can head over to the Charlton Live forum. There's a thread on there. You can tweet us at Charlton Live, or you can email us at studio@charltonlive.co.uk. Angry Bird is the username on the Charlton Live forum, who's had her say. Sally Wyatt is her actual name. She says, I've never left a game as angry as I was yesterday. FA Cup game, it had about as much about it as a pre-season friendly. What a way to treat the fans. If Lee Bowyer wasn't fussed, then perhaps he should have had the decency to inform the fans of that fact. Surely a manager, you would want to win every game that comes along. Okay, people will say about the importance of the league, but I don't see why we can't have a go at having a cup run. At least put a couple of first teamers on the bench. Anyways, as I left the ground feeling aggrieved, I've decided no more cup games for me. If the manager can't be bothered, then why should us fans? Disgraceful. And that's from Sally. I mean, it certainly points out to the way the FA Cup's losing a lot of its magic now. I mean, I've really enjoyed the FA Cup runs and I've had this season. I went, you know, the weekend of the Mansfield game, I was lucky I got to go to two games. So I saw Bromley in it and against Peterborough, and I saw Charlton up at Mansfield, and I actually enjoyed both of the occasions as they were, because, you know, I've never seen, you know, Bromley play quite well in their game. And then from a Charlton point of view, a ground I've not been to before, a town I've not been to before, stayed up with some mates, I enjoyed the outing and the occasion. But, you know, in terms of team selection, it's not just Charlton, there will be other teams who do it. It's clear that the FA Cup isn't as important to managers and doesn't have the magic at all for managers as it does for the fans anymore.
No, and sadly that's true, because money now talks before anything else. And if you're get knocked out in the second round, you get 50 grand. If you get knocked out in the third round, you get 100 grand. If you manage to get it to the quarterfinals, you might get $250,000. I don't know the exact payouts.
I think it's something like 54 grand if we'd gone through, so, something along those lines.
You know, now,
would have paid the bonuses.
But I also get, yes, I understand the disappointment, because we all like a cup run, and the magic of the FA Cup, I think, still exists in fans, generally speaking, for the most part. But what I would point out is everybody, I don't know where everybody's getting this, we could have drawn Man City. You know we'd have got Shrewsbury Town at home.
Yeah.
You just know it. Or Shrewsbury Town away, even. Or Huddersfield again. Yeah, it can happen. It might happen. But the odds are it won't. Should we have a tilt on the cup? And the other thing I think I really want to say, I mean, there's a couple of things, really. One, we've, as a club, are not in the same place as many other clubs who are deemed as normal. You can't levy that against us at the minute, and haven't been for nearly 5 years. So we're not in a normal position. So what's happened in the last year, season and a bit, is a breath of fresh air from what's gone on before. Since Chris Bowell left, we've had turgid upon turgid, pretty much. Now we've got Lee Bowyer and Johnny Jackson in charge, and Steve Gallen behind them. There's actually a breath of fresh air. There's actually some impetus on the playing side that we can get behind and get hold of. If something puts that at risk, why would you? You know, I get frustration, I get the reason to lose, but to start, you know, really giving Lee Bowyer some stick after what we've been through and now what he's given us, and his team have given us, I think is unfair, personally. And look, let's say his job's on the line, generally speaking. But let's say you said, right, unless you get promotion, you're sacked, right? Let's say that's his mantra for having the job. Now, at the end of the season, he can turn around and say, well, you know, I got to the fourth round. We got knocked out by Man City 8-0. All right, we might be mid-table in League One, but come on, the cup run we were on, not a chance. Be out in his ear. And that's what he'll live and die by. The league results are basically what will determine what people think of him as a manager, not how we do in a cup run.
Of course, it's not to say that if we had played a full-strength team yesterday, that all of a sudden our league form would drop off. But is the risk? Is managing of the risk that he was talking about? Now, Angry Bird said that I'd never left a game as angry as I was yesterday, and then Paulie pointed out saying you clearly didn't go to the home game against Peterborough. That was the angriest I've ever been since leaving a game, and I couldn't even speak. Right, plenty of people have gotten involved on the tweets as well. Bob Liskin, the first one, said, I'm firmly in the Boyer camp. With our small squad and injury history, I don't think he had a choice. As much as I would have liked to have seen us in the draw tomorrow and perhaps a big club or Palace, he made the right decision. Surefire that Leeds or Newcastle will come out. Right, 100% Charlton, poor performance, a waste of money, but let's now concentrate on the league and move onwards and upwards. I mean, that's probably the thing that a lot of people are saying now. I don't know why, but our FA Cup price was £15 rather than £10. And I still believe £10 is the minimum you're allowed to charge.
I think, isn't it got to be mutually agreed by both clubs?
Yeah,
as
so
well,
presumably so. It's that, and hopefully rather, because I imagine if they was it £10, would they've got another 1,000 through the door? Who knows? I mean,
no.
You can't
I suspect
argue.
Not.
Yeah, you can't make that conversation, but. It was a bit steep, to be fair, and I do think the pricing was a bit stingy there, and so I'm not sure about that one. And that, I think, is possibly where the brunt of people's frustration may be coming from as well as the fact that they'd like to get through to the third round of the FA Cup.
How much was Mansfield, do we know?
Mansfield away?
The home one.
The home one. I've got a feeling it was 15 as well, because I remember looking at it thinking that's a bit stingy, like for a midweek game in particular, and the weather was horrible that, which probably didn't help with the low gate as well. Steve Catley says, last 15 minutes were very good, but seemed like the players finally thought they might as well have a go. That's a pound per minute for that. The first 75 was a waste of time, not going to win it. He said that's a ridiculous comment from Bowyer. I mean, obviously, everyone knows they're not going to win the cup, and you know, when I said, is it an opportunity missed, you know, to get through to the third round, he just said, well, an opportunity to win the cup. We're not going to win the cup, so it doesn't matter.
To be fair, I think that's a defensive comment, isn't it? Mm. I mean, because he knows he's going to cop a bit of flack for doing what he did. So he was already in defensive mode, I suspect.
Mm. Right, Martin said, second half thought we gave as good as we got, but for the world class save from Lawler on Marshall's header and Rico Hackett, Fairchild, poor finishing, we might have got something from the game. Yeah, we did have that one where that cross came in, went just over the head of, was it a Jose, I think. It was a great cross from Marshall, and then it fell for Hackett Fairchild, and he just had a heavy touch just at the wrong time.
But, from under his feet,
yeah, such a shame, because that was a half decent chance. Martin continues, yes, not great, all the changes, but we have got such a small squad and blighted with injuries. I back Bowyer's decision. He said, for me, we have got to get out of this league, absolutely imperative, and if that means sacrificing an FA Cup run, so be it. For me, this now puts pressure on Bowyer to at least win one of the next two away games, for sure, with obviously Blackpool and Portsmouth coming up in the next few days. Now, Sidcup Barber says, let's see what we missed out on in tomorrow's draw. How much money might we have made? And then he puts might. Now, this is the interesting fact. So, of course, we know the prize money to get through. I mean, if you get drawn away against Man United, you split the gate, and that would be a lot of money. If you get drawn at home to Shrewsbury, it's a waste of time. Probably cost you more money to put the game on. Where would that money have gone? Would it have gone into Lee Bowyer's transfer kitty in January?
You know the answer to that.
Yeah, I imagine it wouldn't have. So that's probably partly. Now, I mean, I imagine Duchatelet would have liked the money, but I don't really care about what he likes and doesn't like at this moment in time. But whether that would have gone into Bowyer's thinking as well or not, or, I mean, Rick Everett was pointing out, was there any conversation between the two? Like, we could have had that money and Bowyer turned around and said, well, I'm not that bothered about that money. I mean, that's the lack of communication between the two on that front, but... The long and short of it is, I can't imagine that if we draw Man United away, all of a sudden we would have had a £500 million transfer budget in January.
Absolutely not. And I think that would have just been pocketed, and the excuse and the reason, not excuse, that's the wrong word, the reason given to balance budgets and to cover the deficit. And that's the scary thought for January as well. as to what happens to the family silver.
I think what Tel said earlier as well about the fact that Boya, his remit might just be promotion. If Duchatelet really is looking to sell, then I think a championship club, as opposed to a mid-table League One club that played Man United in the FA Cup, is a lot more sellable. So I think from his point of view, promotion probably comes first as well. I'm sure he's trying to take any money he can in the meantime, but like I say, if we go up, we're going to be a lot more attractive as a purchase. So I would think that's in the back of Roland's mind.
I mean,
as well.
I think you've got to, you know, when Lebo's come out and said it's a risk to play players, you know, and there'll be people saying, well, hold on, you know, he could get injured in training, could get injured. Remember Mark Fish got injured at home on a glass table.
Well, London Geezer has just said. He said you can't base it on ifs and maybes. Taylor could slip on the soap in the shower and break his leg. Maybe he shouldn't have any showers. But I imagine
I'll use that mantra.
I did wonder what that smell was. Boya might turn around, and if he was given the opportunity for Lyle Taylor to have fewer showers, so there's less chance of him slipping, I imagine he'd take it.
I'd love to hear that conversation. But the point is, it's the management of risks. There's stuff you can't control, and when you can't control it, it happens. You move on. If you can control a risk, then you do so. And if he feels that it's a risk to play him, just in case, then he controls that risk. That's what he does. That's what his job is. So, it would be sod's law, wouldn't it? At the first training session on Monday, the two players that he rested, or three or four players that he rested, all pull up hamstrings. Yeah.
Well, I did say. Do you remember when things were going really well earlier on in the season, Tom? And I said on a Thursday night show, we're waiting for something to go wrong, like a gas leak at the training ground or something. Do you know? It wasn't that much further along after that that we had the carbon monoxide leak in here. And we had to take a few weeks off.
Don't say anything.
I wish I hadn't said that now.
Yeah, let's hope I don't accidentally win the lottery. Right, Cliff Scales. It's disappointing to lose any match, but I totally agree with what Boya did yesterday. We simply cannot risk losing our best players by playing them in the cup. So we might have got a big team in the next round who would probably play their reserves anyway. Cliff also said he's excited for the interview with John Robertson, which is coming up soon. London Elite Geezer said Luton were playing a virtual full strength team in the cup. They must think their name is on the trophy then. Well, it's different. I think Portsmouth put out a reasonably strong team today, and they only just scraped past Rochdale. So, you know, just by putting out your team doesn't mean we're definitely going to go past Doncaster yesterday as well. So we're getting a real mix of opinions coming in tonight, which is really good to see. Tom Bramley says a very poor performance yesterday. I understand the players need rest, but to change nine from Tuesday was a joke. No excuses. We have to win next Saturday, and Boya needs to hope that Donny don't pull a big team in the draw out on Monday. I mean, there was certainly frustration last year from some fans when we went to Wimbledon and got beat. I'm trying to remember, we put a reasonable mixed team at Wimbledon last season, got beat.
Yeah, I don't think we put a weakened side out against Wimbledon necessarily. I think we had a couple of injuries.
Yeah, and then they got drawn away to Spurs, which would have been at Wembley, which would have been our cup final, ironically. But so people were unhappy with the fact that we lost last year, even though we put out, from memory, a reasonably strong team against Wimbledon. Right, Les on on Twitter, it's just a one word answer he gave, but and I'll try and clean it up. He said it was testicles in response to the team selection yesterday. Cliff, again, all right, well, Cliff's talking about Robbo, so we'll come back to that later. Steve Armstrong said it was Lee Boya's worst managerial decision to date. Completely disregarded the supporters that had paid good money to see a football match, not a one-sided pre-planned defeat. Most of the other big teams in League One managed a cup win while still looking at the bigger picture. Excuse me.
Well, the bigger picture is most other League One teams don't have the background to the club that we have. Don't possibly have the background of... I mean, even when we put our full strength side out, there's still, what, four kids? Five kids in?
Yeah.
We can't compare what we are to everybody else. I mean, I had a bit of a row in here afterwards when somebody said, you know, for a club as big as Charlton to only put five subs on the bench, it's a disgrace. A club as big as Charlton? We're sixth in League One.
It's trying to find the right balance between, whereas fans, I think we can probably still rightfully want the club to be, you know, a championship club, compared to where we actually are because of the likes of Roland Duchatelet and whatnot. And it's trying to find the right balance between the mentality of the fans and the mentality of where the club is. I remember maybe a couple of years ago, I remember saying, look, as fans, we'd lost against someone we shouldn't have lost, someone crap like Rochdale or something like that, and you know, a small club. And I remember coming in here and saying, you know, as Charlton, we should expect. And then I think it was Sue was saying, well, yeah, but we can't expect that. But it's the difference between the players obviously can't go out and expect to win a game against a small club because they're Charlton, but the fans should still expect a certain level from the club. And there's millions of reasons why we're not there, and obviously we all know the main one, but it's just trying to find that right balance. Right, Colin said excuse me, if my tweets were read yesterday, then I still haven't changed my mind. I'm sick of not looking to win cup games. So if we play a second strength team, okay, if we'd won and pulled a top draw versus a Premier League side, I don't think Lee would be playing a second string. Well, do you remember when we went to Palace in the League Cup and Guy Luzon made loads of changes, yeah, and we went and lost the next game as well, but he made big changes against a Premier League Palace, and we were in the game for a little while, but we ended up losing. So that was quite controversial at the time. Right, Clint says resting players is fine, taking the wee is not. Justifying it with we aren't going to win the FA Cup anyway is not justification, as we're not going to win the league either. So maybe don't bother trying to win league games then. He said he's given it a free word review, but none of those words are errable. John said, I think Lee Bowyer has put a lot of pressure on him and the team to perform next weekend after yesterday. Smash and grabs like Burton don't come around that often. Colin then adds disgraceful comments from Bowyer. If we had won and drawn a Premier League, oh, he said pretty much the same thing there, but he's tidied it up at the end. Said pay money to see us win, so now we ignore cup games. Unseething with his arrogant comments. Right, Tony said, I understand where Bowyer is coming from, don't agree with him because I think we should try and win every game. Probably shouldn't have said what he said in the interview, but we have to remember he's still learning and doing a brilliant job under difficult circumstances. Colin says, how do you think the players feel about missing out on a possible third round draw versus a big club? I'm effing gutted with how us fans have been treated. Lots of respect lost for Lee Bowyer and his comments. Well, let's have a quick look at a couple of emails that have come in. Ray said, evening gents, if Lee Bowyer says he has to rest most of the first team for a cup game as a league is more important, then that's good enough for me. The fact is, those brought in to replace those in the first team are not ready to step up to that level, means that in my opinion the squad is not strong enough, which is something that's all that's gone on throughout this regime's tendency. Had we had seven or eight players carrying knocks and unable to play for fitness reasons, we would all be blaming the owner, and rightly so. He's the one that thinks we can survive and push on using a squad of 13 to 15 and then make it up to 23, 24 players using the youngsters. We don't have two players in each position. We have a player for the position and someone that can replace them should we need to, but not to the same standard. He says, keep up the good works. Always enjoy the show. He says, hope to meet some of us on the ride to Amsterdam. Yep, I opened my fundraising page for the ride to Amsterdam again this summer. If you want to donate, it's on the top of my Twitter page on my pinned tweet, and Ray's coming along as well. I'm looking forward to seeing Ray. I'm hoping that one of the dogs will at least be like pulling his bike along, like a husky situation. I'm not sure if they will. Right, final message that's coming before we're going to talk about Darren Pitcher and then go into the interview with John Robinson. Well, I'll put in the group, in our little group chat earlier, I've got a great interview with Robbo lined up for this evening, and Nathan thought I was talking about Carl Robinson.
I was a bit gutted, I'll be honest.
Yeah. Right, Phil said, a couple of messages coming from Phil said, didn't go Saturday, just knew what Bowyer was going to do. In fact, it was worse, was totally a B-side. The chances of getting promotion for me are no better than 50-50 under Du Châtelet, and now a decent cup run has gone. If we had an owner who cared about the fans, he'd give those hardy souls who attended their money back. Rest some players, but nine for me. Bowyer got this wrong. And then he says, PS, just read Bowyer's comments. Missed opportunity. We're not going to win it anyway. Sorry, Lee. We're not going to win the league either. We're not good enough. And that was from Phil. So there we go. I think we've covered that quite thoroughly from yesterday. You know, there's certainly views on both sides of the camp. I'm sort of in the middle, because I really would have liked to have got through to the third round. I understand why we rested players. I didn't care when we did it in the League Cup. The FA Cup's slightly different for me. I would have liked to have got through to the third round, but at the same time, I understand where it came from, and hopefully we'll be drawing a line under it when we go to Blackpool next week and hopefully pick up 3 points. Now, we're going to hear from Johnny Robinson in a few moments' time. Of course, he's one of the players who played in the Back to the Valley game. I haven't had a chance to double-check this yet, but I think he's the only one who played in both Back to the Valley and the playoff final. John seemed to think he was as well, but I think he is. I'll have to double-check that. But one of the players who did play in Back to the Valley game and also had a memorable game in the FA Cup up at Blackburn was, of course, Darren Pitcher. Now, we spoke about Pitch on on Thursday evening's show, so sad to hear that he passed away aged just 49, which of course is no age. Last weekend, now me and Tom were able to talk about his best moments, the Back to the Valley and the FA Cup at Ewood Park, because they're what we've heard of. You know, slightly before our time, unfortunately. But Terry, you would have seen him play. I mean, Robbo said some really kind words for him as well in the interview that we're about to hear. But I mean, it sounds like, you know, it sounded like he was a proper Charlton kind of player. To
yeah, he was. That's fair. Yeah. I mean, he burst in the scene. It actually was when he started out. I think he was a right back when he first came as a captain. I think he either captained or he was part of the youth team that got to the FA Cup. Youth FA Cup final. So, and it was clear early on that he was a good player. I have the same sort of gut feeling about Lapsley. He was that type of player, all action. He never shirked a tackle ever, and he made some that just made your teeth shudder. Even as a kid, you just knew that he was someone that was destined to be. I always thought a future Charlton captain, because he didn't leave anything on the pitch. He gave his all, and he heart on his sleeve and all that sort of stuff. And sort of proper footballer, I guess you'd say. When you've got one in your side, it just attracts attention and people warm to him. And he was a firm favourite, absolute firm favourite. And when we had to get back to the Valley, he sort of epitomised for me the sort of fighting spirit that the fans showed, that the board showed, and the players were showing. It just he was my favourite player at the time, no question about it. Putting performances like you saw at the Blackburn game, the second game, because he scored the goal, is the one where everybody remembers him, but the first game he was absolutely awesome. In that first game, he was tackles were flying in everywhere, he was stopping and playing, and Blackburn were a huge side at the time, you know, and everybody was expecting us to absolutely get trounced, and he held that midfield together almost single-handedly. He was just everywhere. And he did that game after game, not just in the important ones. He did it, you know. He just got stuck in and got dirty for the cause, and just a fantastic player. And it broke my heart when he left, I've got to say, and I was really angry.
And he went to Palace,
It wasn't just Palace. I mean, Palace wasn't the greatest destination because of what they'd done or what they tried to do to us in the previous 6 years. So. They were trying to finish his club, so going to Palace wasn't great. But you know, we've had players go to Palace before, and it's never been that big a deal. You know, Johnny Humphreys springs to mind. But there was a lot of stuff attributed to him when he left as to why he left, and a lot of people said, "Well, you know, after that Blackburn game, he got a bit big for his boots, and started to be the big I am." And people, other clubs started looking at him then, and he got his head turned and started saying, "Well, I'm too big for this place." And that's what was touted around. And so I got angry with that.
I can imagine.
Well, you know, having spent 7 years away from this place, we were angry anyway. And you know, I got angry in sort of 1985, stayed that way for 7 years and a bit beyond. When A, he left, and under the cloud he left, because that's what we were told, and then B, where he went, it just... and I wasn't alone. There were quite a few of us who were venting their spleen towards Darren. He came back for the... I mentioned this on the Charlton Life Forum. He came back for the Back to the Valley Q&A last season.
Yes, only last year, yeah.
And he made a point, and he was shaking, and there were tears in his eyes when he said it, of saying that the stuff that was attributed to him wasn't true, and that he loved this place, and he had this place in his heart. I went up to him afterwards and apologised for all the stuff I'd said about him in the interim period. He came out and was quite openly, not a repentance, probably not the right word, but to put the record straight, and he was quite emotional about it. I'm glad I did now, because based on obviously what's just transpired. So I think forget about after he left. It's all about what he did for us while he was here, and he was instrumental as a person in the side for some of the best performances I've ever seen.
Excellent, Terry, thank you for that. Darren Pitcher, so sad to see him pass away last weekend. Right, let's move on now to our interview with John Robinson, one of my all-time favourite Charlton players. As I said, I believe he's the only one to play in both the Back to the Valley game and the playoff final. We're going to check that now during the interview. I remember coming down here as a young kid. I remember getting his autograph once at the side of the pitch while he was substitute. And being absolutely made up. He was a superb winger, involved in, like I say, some of the biggest games of our time, and that time when we started to build the early years in the Premier League. I was so pleased to be put in contact with him. So thanks to Jason Morgan from the Community Trust and to Zaki as well for sorting this out for us. They've lined us up some great interviews over the last few days. We've had Mark Kinsella obviously last week. We've got John Robertson coming up now. We've got a third one I'm going to play on Thursday's show, but I'm going to give you a little hint at the end of this show, and you'll be able to work it out who it is quite easily. But first of all, we're going to hear from John Robertson now. I started off the interview by saying, you know, obviously the playoff final, it's easy to forget actually, because especially for those of us, myself and probably Tom, who came to start support the club in between coming back to the Valley and getting into the Premier League. So we only ever knew what it was like being here at the Valley, but John Robertson joined the club when they were still at West Ham. So he knew the struggle that the fans had gone through to get back here. And it was a remarkable turnaround that just, you know, less than 5 years later, well, just over, sorry, 5 years later, that we were going into the Premier League, and obviously in the most remarkable way possible. So I asked John to start off with, and this is a feature-length interview. It's going to be about 20 minutes, but every minute of it is just worth listening to, because John Robertson is an absolute hero. But he's talking about how it was remarkable, the rise the club had shown in that 5 years since they've been back at the Valley.
Yeah, and I think a lot of it was getting back home. I think that helped for everybody to realise that they had now a home, that there was the uncertainty had gone, and there was a vision of where the club wanted to go. And as I say, when I joined in 92, that vision was put on the wall with the stadium as what it was hopefully looked like. And so for us to progress where we did do in within 5 years, and then get the opportunity to go to the Premier League, was a great achievement by the club, whatever went on that day. But I think it was destiny that it fell as it did.
I mean, I think you might be the only player who played in both games, actually. So,
yeah.
I mean, can you remember what the feelings were, the difference between the pressure of playing in the first game back at the home, but comparing it to the pressure of playing at Wembley and the chance to actually get into the Premier League?
The back to the Valley dinner, the back to the Valley game was obviously, that was a celebration. I mean, that was a future. All the hard work that had gone into it before I arrived in September 92, from the board, from the club, from the fans, from everybody involved, to get back was the achievement of what they wanted. And they could now feel that the club was back in their hands. So playing in that game was more of a celebration, more than anything. It really wouldn't have mattered. I mean, obviously we never thought that, but I think to the fans, whether we lost or won or drew the game, it was irrelevant. The day was about what it was, and when obviously Mr. Murray opened those gates, it was a fantastic achievement from everybody involved, and I think it was just fittingly obviously that we ended up obviously winning the game, which was great, and it was a perfect ending to a perfect kind of week. But and then obviously the playoff final, that's a completely different animal. That is, you know, you worked all year, 46 games, of which I feel is the hardest league to get out of in the world, because you have to, everyone's wanting that golden egg, which is the Premier League, the status it brings, the financial reward, the time it brought for the club, the stability and everything like that, the future. That was huge pressure, because again, it's like anything, when you're there and you can feel it and touch it, the last thing you want to be doing is feeling that, well, I'm not going to go there after, 48, 49 games with playoffs and all that. So you knew that was pressure, and that changed people's lives and effectively the way they, where they progressed to, whether the team stayed together or not. If we didn't go up, the future of the club, maybe even Curbs staying around. So it was a big, big thing. So the pressure of both games, there was no pressure in the first game, which was more of a celebration. The second game, the playoff final, yeah, that was pressure.
And can you remember what the feeling like was in terms of going into it? Because I spoke to Mark Kinsella last week, and he was saying that the club felt confident. Obviously, we'd had this amazing run towards the end of that season where we just weren't conceding goals, we were winning plenty of games. But Sunderland were the big dogs, really, weren't they? They were probably the favourites. They'd finished above us in the league, and they were, compared to Charlton, they were a huge club as well at the time.
Yeah, they were big. I mean, Sunderland's still big, but at the end of the day, Sunderland were a big club. They had obviously internationals in there, same as we did, but I think Keynes is right. We went on a run, and I think the self-belief within our group that you're going into the game knowing that, you know what, you didn't just scrape in there. I think the two teams that deserve to be in there deserve to be in the final for that game. Finishing how they did, finishing with a point tally that they did, we did, all of us. So for us, I think we were quietly confident going in. But at the end of the day, as I said, it's one game. Mm. You can be as confident as anything, but at the end of the day, I think we just knew as a team and as a unit that whatever happened, we would be in the game. We would always be in and around the game, and then you just need a little bit of luck to go with you as well.
And obviously, I mean, you started on the bench, so can you remember what your feelings were having to start from the bench? Was there disappointment? Can you remember how Alan Kirbishley told you?
Yeah, well, I mean, obviously for myself, I mean, I got injured, and then I still had a cracked fibula when I was playing.
Mm.
So I came back from injury. I think Charlton, Kerbs arranged a reserve game to see if I would get through that. Myself and Morts or something like that. I think it was on the week before to see whether we would be able to get through because I hadn't trained at all for the last, I think it was maybe month or 6 weeks. And I trained just for that week and just to see what would happen. And obviously when I got through the reserve game, there was pain obviously still, but not majorly pain. And obviously, Mark Kerbs had to make a decision, and I think as much as I didn't agree with it at the time, door slammed and words were said because I played every game, obviously, up to my injury and the whole thing. So, but again, I think overall it would have been it was the right decision because there's no way I would have lasted the game. All I was pleased with, I was being involved in it because I knew at that time we only had two subs or three subs, one with a goalkeeper and two outfield players. At that time it was 13 players, 14 players ago. It's not 18. So as long as I was involved in some capacity, that was what I wanted. And I was just pleased I was able to at least have some part to play rather than break down and couldn't get back.
Yeah, and obviously you came on quite an interesting time. We'd just fallen 3-2 behind, so we got back in at a 2-2. Then it seemed it was almost immediate that Niall Quinn made it 3-2 to Sunderland, and time's running out, so you're thrown on with the last throw of the game, desperately trying to find a way to get into it. So it must have been one hell of an occasion to suddenly find yourself within as well.
Yeah, I mean, I was itching to get on a bit earlier, but I think with 20 minutes to go, I think that's when Kerbs kind of said, OK, let's see what we got. I think that was possibly where he felt I could maybe 20 or 30 minutes in, last 30 minutes in the game, maybe that's where I could be fit enough to be able to go into it. As I say, only playing one game in the space of 3 months or 2 months or whatever. But it was great. I mean, when the corner went up, I don't even know if I was meant to be on corners. I can't remember. I think it was just because I was over that way. And time was, I think it was like 15 minutes to go or 10 minutes to go. About 5 minutes to go.
Yeah, it was
Roof.
5 minutes to go when Roof scored.
Five minutes to go. So it was like, I think it was just because I was over that way. And all I remember doing is just make sure that I get it in the area. Don't stick it out. Don't that. Just concentrate and get it into the right area and let's hopefully someone attacks it. And obviously, I think the goalkeeper kind of got sucked into the curl a little bit, but it was a great header from Roof, obviously, when he just towered above everyone. I think that was his first goal as well.
Yeah, first ever goal.
First ever goal.
There's so many stories that come out from that day, aren't there? when you look back at it,
it's crazy.
So you get the assist, and we're into the extra 30 minutes. I mean, legs must have been tired by that point already after the ding dong battle we'd already had, and there was another slog, and we fell behind again. But it said a lot about the never say die attitude that Charlton had, that they were able to come back once more, and of course, Clive Mendonca scores that most famous Wembley goal.
Yeah, I mean. That's what we had, and that's what I've always said to people. I can't comment on other people or other teams, but when we were around for 12 years at that club, the people we had that came in every single time, it didn't matter who we brought in, the team spirit was the one thing that progressed those teams. And that came from the management, that came from the board, that came from the culture of the club, that came from the environment, everybody from the tea lady to Jimmy, the physio to Mossy to everybody, and the team spirit was always going to be there. And I think that just drove us again. And it was literally like, we're not going to give up here. We are going all the way. But it was the same mentality, whether it was on a Tuesday night somewhere. It was the same mentality for us. And then, as I say, when Clough scored that fourth goal, you just felt then, you're like, okay, we've come from behind, three times? I think it was three times, in the final. And you're like, okay, now could this be our day? Could this be our day? But yeah, it was an unbelievable goal, the hat trick, obviously. Yeah, and then obviously extra time was even more interesting, and then the shootout.
Yeah, I mean, what goes through your mind when you step up to take the penalty? Because I don't think I could think of anything a situation when you'd be in any more pressure, really.
Oh my god, no! It's the biggest one game in the world. It's the biggest game. People say Champions League, but you're going to be in the Champions League next season. If you finish there, you're going to be, generally the people who are in the Champions League final, generally are the ones who obviously are going to be in it again the following year. Here you're not. Here you've got to slog another 46 games at that time, and everyone else is looking to get to the same thing. So you've got, it's not a given that you're going to be at Wembley again in the playoff final to get to the Premier League the following year. So it is the biggest one game in world football, from a financial component, from every component in it. It is. So to go on like, okay, well, now it's one kick. It's now down to one kick. And for me, it was all I remember, I only ever took two penalties before that. One when I was about 12, missed. And one when I went for my hat-trick against Norwich at home and missed, and Kirby laid into me because I wasn't the penalty taker.
Yeah.
And I missed that one, and he laid into me just because obviously I wasn't the penalty taker, but they gave it me because I was on a hat-trick. So out of me, I'm thinking, oh my gosh, it's never going to get to me anyway, because I'm the first sudden death person. So there's no one in a million years, 10 people are scoring or even getting to it when it's the biggest game in the world, to scoring or whatever. So I'm thinking, okay, well, I'm like 11th person. No way in a million years. No way. So I was quite comfortable to be first sudden death person. And then just watching them go, and I'm like, oh my gosh. And it's going, and it's not like they're missing. It's quality penalties getting put up. And I remember speaking to Taff, Mark Bowen, and I'm like, got to about the third, and I'm like, on the middle of the lot, and I'm like, oh my god, this could come to me. And then it got to the fourth, and I said to him, like, what do you do? What he said, just don't change your mind, do it, don't change your mind, pick a pot spot. And that walk, I had to have a little jog because my legs had absolutely even now. My legs go to jelly now watching the damn thing.
Yeah.
It is crazy, because I knew if I walked all the way, it'd be too much.
Yeah.
I had to get there as quick as possible, get me head down, and I didn't even look at the goalkeeper because it was all Sunderland supporters behind him. So I just didn't, look. I put the ball down, turned around, put my back to them, and when he blew the whistle, I turned and there. I'm just glad he didn't go the right way, because I think if he went the right way, he could have gone back for a cup of tea, come back and saved
it. I think it's probably fair to say that the winning penalty that Sasa saved, I think the nerves had got to Michael Gray. It wasn't the best penalty we've ever seen, but you know, Sasa makes a save, and I just can't imagine what the delirium must have been like on the pitch to be involved in that. And there's that famous photo of everyone bundling on top of Sasa, and then everyone in the suits joins in after. I mean, can you remember exactly what was going through your mind in that dog pile?
Oh my god, yeah, me. It was who's going to get to Sasa first, me or Jonesy? And I think I got there first, just in time, because I knew that, and then all hell broke loose. It was just absolute, like, you're like, oh my god, this is where we all wanted to be. This is where the club wanted to be. And I think, and I'm not saying it's different to other clubs, but the journey of what Charlton went through, of having to leave the ground to to get back to the ground, to have stability, to get to a play, to I mean, we lost in the playoff semi-finals, don't forget, before that. Do you know what I mean? So we had been through heartache as well. So we got through, we lost to the semi in the semi-finals as well before that. I think it was like the year before, the year
it's 2 years before. Before, yeah, against Palace.
Palace. So we went through heartache before that. So in 5 years, what we achieved in the first 5 to 6 years of that club and then carried on, it was anything but remarkable at times. When you got the inferior going up, sorry, to the back to the valley, then you going to playoffs, losing playoffs in the semi-final, and then coming back and going to the playoffs and going through that game. And then, to be honest with you, I was so pleased when Sunderland did go up the following year, because it showed a lot of character from them. And to lose that like it is, when it's 4-4, it still now is the best game and one of the best games.
Yeah, well, there's no question about that. So obviously the next season, I mean, we went all the way. We came so close to staying up. I mean, we'll never forget that game at Aston Villa, the 4-3 win on the penultimate weekend of the season. But, you know, even though we went down, we came back stronger. And again, I think it's fair to say that what happened at Wembley was certainly, it seemed to be the catalyst for the success that the club had over the next 5, 6, 7 years.
Oh, 100%. But again, it was just the vision and everybody growing on one thing. And the biggest component was the management bringing in the players that had the Charlton way, understood the Charlton way, keeping around people like myself or Steve Brown and people like that. Okay, I mean, just keeping around. I mean, when you look at it, we probably had 10 players, 9 players that would have been around for 8 years. I mean, we had testimonials. We had, how many testimonials did we have? What other club can look at that? We had coaches. We had Curbs, Gritty, Keith Peacock have testimonials. You had Brownie. You had myself. You had Richard Rufus, I think, at the time, had a testimony. I mean, there was people who had testimonials. And then people 8 years. It's unheard of. So for us to have, as I said, they built it on, and everybody had one thing. And again, when you went through everything, I mean, we went back to the valley. We lost in the playoff semi-final. We won the playoff final. We got relegated on the last game of the season. We came straight back up as champions. We finished 7th in the Premier League. Do you know what I mean? I mean, when you look at it, it's crazy. It's crazy how it goes.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the playoff final had a big part to play in where we wanted to be. It gave us a sniff of what we wanted. We knew we could live with it. We knew we had to change some stuff when we went back up there the second time. But it showed again the kind of character. It showed that Curbs, no one left anywhere. When we got relegated, I think the only person that left was Neil Redford. So it showed showed everything, what we wanted to do and how we wanted to go about it again. No one looked to move. No one went into the gaffer's office to say, I demand a move because I want to be in the Premier League. They believed in what we were doing and believed in each other and said, well, and the pressure was a different pressure then, because everybody, the fans, everybody, the pundits told us that we were having to go up. We were automatic to go up. Why? Just because we came down. But as you know, that's not always the case.
No.
So, and again, to go up and then to go up as champions and to have that experience and doing that. I mean, I'm so privileged to have been in those kind of things, where the back to the valley, the playoff final at Wembley, and the championship, and winning the championship, and then finishing 7th, obviously at that time in the Premier League. It's as I say, I'm just so lucky to have been involved in all of that.
Yeah, it was a brilliant time for the club. Obviously, it's slightly different times now. Sadly, I mean, you're over in the States now, but you still keep an eye on how the Addicts are getting on, especially, of course, under one of your former teammates now, Lee Bowyer.
Yeah, I think it's the right appointment. I think Bo knows the biggest thing. He knows the history. Again, Charlton is so unique. You have to understand the history. You have to understand what it means and everything like that. And again, Bo gets it. It was hard because last year he didn't know if he'd be getting the job full time for this season or not. He went into this season all the way up to there, not really knowing still. Do you know what I mean?
Mm.
So it's not people look at, okay, what's happening now, what's happening then, but it's a preparation before. So I think the only thing could have happened a little bit is if they said at the end of last year, hey, you're 100% in, do the announcement, bang, finished. He can then know, he can go and get maybe the players he's looking for, go and look, there's other, do you know what I mean? Whole set up his stuff, set everything in the foundation, set everything up for the beginning of the season, for pre-season. But when there's still an uncertainty, you can't, if you're talking to a player, you can't turn around and say to him, well, I'm definitely going to be here, because he hasn't signed a contract at that point.
Yeah, it certainly makes it a lot more...
It makes it hard. It makes it hard. People look at, okay, pre-season or the beginning of the season, but things for coaches and managers, they prepare well in advance.
Of course.
Who they want to try and get.
Stability was the thing we had under Alan Kerbsey as well, of course.
100%. Exactly. Mr. Murray or the board didn't sack Kerbs. They gave him a new contract when we went down.
Seems crazy this day and age, doesn't it?
But that's what I'm about.
Yeah.
This is what I'm on about. You didn't see the players demanding to leave. So it's the same here. It needs stability. It needs to say, you know what, this is it. It takes time to sort itself out, as I said, because Bo did, as I say, was after, during the preseason, I think, that you got eventually the... confirmation that you're definitely doing it full time or whatever, but he's the right person, and he's young, obviously, he's got the history, he's got great experience, so why just not say, you know what, you've got it,
so,
and he's progressing right. I mean, he's won, what, 4 or 5 on the bounce in the league?
Yep, 4, yeah.
4 on the bounce, so, I mean, that's not an easy achievement at all in any league, so... obviously not pleased of obviously going out of the FA Cup, but the same thing is, I mean, he's quite honest as well, Bo. He played with his heart on his sleeve, and what he says the same thing. He's like, okay, that wasn't maybe my first priority, wasn't the FA Cup. If we can go up, then that's a priority. And times have changed a little bit from when we were playing. Players are quite comfortable with being rested. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
We're not. Like, we'd be smashing down book club. Bo, myself, Scotty Party, everybody was just smashing down closed doors if we were rested.
Yeah.
If we were dropped, we could handle drops, but not rested. I mean, that's what we're there to do. And the games are now even, as I say, it's different now. So I think, but again, you have to change with certain things and have to look at it differently. Bo's won 4 league games on the bounce, and they're going in the right direction at the moment.
Excellent. And just finally, I wanted to ask, of course, this week about another one of your former teammates, Darren Pitcher,
yeah.
Sadly passed away last weekend. He also played in that Back to the Valley game, was in scored the winner, of course, at Ewood Park in the FA Cup. He was well loved by Charlton fans, and such a sad loss to see him go.
I couldn't believe it. Again, you share so many memories and times that people don't see behind, on the training ground, on the coaches going up, and in the changing rooms. And I remember, as I say, Darren obviously welcomed me when I came to Back to Valley, sorry, back up to West Ham, and then went there. He was a no-nonsense kind of midfield, at the time fullback, then he got into midfield. And at times, sometimes not as rated as what we rated him as, because we knew what he brought. But a genuine, fantastic fella. I was really obviously disappointed and upset when I heard about it. It wasn't a good feeling because, again, the camaraderie that we had and how many people helped me get settled in at Charlton and give me the reason why I wanted to stay for 12 years was people like Darren Pitcher, Tommy Kate, and people, all those people when I arrived there. Bob Boulders, I mean, so for me, Pitch was one of those people. So I'd be sorely missed, that's for sure. And at such a young age.
Yeah.
Such a young age.
Of course. So there we go. That was John Robinson with some very kind words, of course, about Darren Pitcher towards the end. But, I mean, what a great interview with Robbo. It was an absolute pleasure to get to speak to him earlier. I mean, Cliff Scales said you won't find many that played for Charlton with his passion. You could tell it meant everything to him playing for this club. One of my favourite moments was his celebration when he equalised at home to Man United.
Yeah, that's the
to
one.
Make it 3-3 when we've been 3-1 down. I didn't even get a chance to ask him about that. So many things I could have asked him about. As I say, one of my favourites. Tony said, "What an absolute legend." Became my favourite player when Gary Nelson left, and just loved his passion and everything about him. I mean, it was so great to hear from him.
No, it was the hairs on the back of the neck and the old spine tingles when he's talking about the playoff final.
He made me nervous again.
It's incredible what he said about. So he said that he'd taken two penalties before and missed them both. We spoke to Kings last week. He said he'd taken six or seven and missed them all. How on earth did we win that? No one had ever scored one before.
Probably, right? Yeah. The finest penalty taker was probably Sean Newton, and his was an absolute dog's breakfast. Right?
Yeah. Right. Mick C said on Charlton Live, "Hello, Louis. Happy birthday, Terry. Of course, during the week." He says, "Was John Robinson sitting in a chicken?" pen during the interview, some funny noises in the background. We did hear one at one point, I think, but he's obviously out in the States
on his farm.
Enjoying life. He runs some sort of football academy over there now, and
chickens.
Yeah, can't wait to see him. Can't wait to meet him properly when he comes over for the dinner next Sunday. And don't forget, you can still get your tickets. I've tweeted out the link for the Charlton Athletic Community Trust playoff final anniversary dinner, 20 years or just over 20 years now, of course, since that incredible day. Now, Robbo is not the only person coming back. Most of the squad from 1998 will be at that dinner, and of course the manager Alan Kirbishley. And you can't have a playoff final dinner without this man. Now we're going to hear, I mean, it's like I said, it's wall-to-wall legends at the moment on Charlton Live. We had Kinsella a couple of weeks ago. We had John Robinson on this evening. Now on this Thursday we've got another exclusive interview with this man.
I mean, again, so many penalties have been taken so far, so you're just trying to use every trick in the book just to try and unsettle the person that's taking the penalty kick. So obviously I try my very best to, intimidate my opponent. Obviously not realising, the state of mind Michael Gray was in at the time, but... I tried to use every trick in the book, stone in the eyes, you know, you're not going to score past me and so on, get in my line just before the penalty kick was taken, just trying to unsettle as much as I can. And obviously when Michael took that penalty and my body movement was going that direction anyway, but as soon as he struck the ball, I already had a grin on my face before I even caught the ball.
He could have just chucked his hat on it, couldn't he?
Yeah, there we go. That's Sasa Ilić. Will be joining us on Thursday evening's Charlton Live. Another Charlton hero of mine. Again, I've got to speak to him this afternoon. So we'll hear his full interview on Thursday evening's Charlton Live. And again, another man you can meet at the playoff final dinner coming up next Sunday. You can still get your tickets, but you best hurry up if you want to come along and meet all these absolute Charlton heroes. Now, thanks to John Robertson and Sasa Ilić, we've run out of time on this evening's Charlton Live. I'm glad we've been able to cheer everyone up after yesterday's FA Cup defeat by listening to John Robinson. And I hope you guys enjoyed it. Thanks for all your tweets and your emails as well. You've kept us going throughout this evening. Tom, thanks for coming in.
Cheers, Lee.
I'll see you tomorrow. And you, Terry.
Thank you. Thanks, everyone.
Yeah, tomorrow evening we will be at the Football Supporters Federation's awards ceremony. We've been nominated for Club Podcast of the Year. We'll have everything crossed to see if we win. We'll let you know as soon as we do, if we have win. I can't imagine we will have, because I imagine there's some pretty good podcasts out there. But we're going to enjoy the evening, and thanks to all of you listeners for listening throughout the season, which means we get to go to this award ceremony. Fingers crossed if we win. Hopefully I'll come in on Thursday. I'll probably still be hungover, but we'll see. Right, this has been Charlton Live. I've been Louis Mendes. Thanks for listening. Thanks for Lee Bowyer for giving us a chat, and of course John Robinson as well. I hope you've enjoyed the show. We'll be back here on Thursday evening with our exclusive interview with Sasa Ilić, and we look forward to seeing you then. See you later. Charlton Live.